Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There were many things that were once thought to be impossible, but are now being done on a consistent and frequent basis. The idea of man landing on the moon or going to space once was thought to be impossible or unheard of, but that notion was shattered in the 1960s. The idea of people surviving surgeries like heart transplants used to be wishful thinking, but now that procedure is done in hospitals throughout the country. Even things like cloning and test tube babies aren't that unheard of or uncommon. Even the concept of being able to have your entire music collection in the palm of your hand with something like an iPod used to be something limited to a movie like Back to the Future Part 2. But now it seems like everyone has something that can hold all of your music in the palm of your hand. Things that were once thought to be impossible are being done on a consistent basis. In the gospel reading, Jesus talks about how the seemingly impossible can be done with faith. So he begins by talking about our responsibility of watching out for the faith of others by teaching us about offending and forgiving. He says, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. The Greek word for temptations to sin is scandalon, and it's where we get our English word scandal from. And you can hear the resemblance. The word does mean temptations to sin, but it carries with it the idea of apostatizing or turning away from the Christian faith. These are sins and temptations that damage and offend the faith of others. These are sins that can cause people to leave the faith. Some examples are when church leaders do immoral things like embezzle funds, get into an affair, or get a DUI. Sins like these damage and offend the faith of others. Even for us common people, impious living can certainly turn other people away from the Christian faith too. And Jesus shows his seriousness in verse 2 when he says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Jesus is looking out for the little ones. He's looking out for those who are young in age, but also for those who are new or recent believers. He does not want their faith damaged or offended by the sins of other Christians. He does not want our misconduct to lead others astray. And now, if this wasn't a difficult teaching or hard enough, Jesus continues with something just as hard, rebuking and forgiving others. He starts by saying, pay attention to yourselves. If we are to rebuke and to correct others, we need to keep an eye on our own lives and on our own actions. We need to watch ourselves lest we fall into sin or think we are better than we actually are. And he continues by saying, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Rebuking other Christians is not fun. It's not easy, and it's not something that we like to do. People can get offended or get hurt feelings and defensive, and understandably so. In our society and age, it's not any easier when Christians are frequently called and labeled judgmental, hypocrites, bigots, intolerant, or closed-minded. However, we need to speak up. Imagine you saw someone pick up an unmarked glass in a laboratory that you knew contained some dangerous chemicals. And as the person grabs the glass, they're moving it up to their face to take a drink. Now, what do? Do you remain silent and let the person drink those chemicals to their harm? Or do you say, no, don't, that's dangerous, put it down, you'll hurt yourself. What would you do? Sin is harmful and destructive. We are to let our brothers and sisters know when they err, when they fall away, but there is a fine line in doing so. We should keep some of these thoughts in mind when we correct or rebuke others, because every situation is different. One, Is this rebuking needful or profitable for the other person? Was it an intentional sin or unintentional? Is this sin misleading them? Two, what is the setting? Are you in a public setting or a private one? Are you alone with them or are you with a group of people? What is the best time, place, and setting to speak the truth in love? And three, what is the goal of your rebuking? Is it to forgive and to lead the person to repentance, like Jesus says? Or is it to beat up on, to criticize, or to embarrass them? Jesus says we are to rebuke, but more importantly, we are to forgive our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And what is the response of the disciples upon hearing this teaching? Increase our faith. The disciples see their own inadequacies and struggles in being able to do these things that Jesus is talking about. These teachings are not easy. They are seemingly impossible to do. Carrie Ten Boom can certainly relate with them. Carrie Ten Boom was a woman who lived in the Netherlands during World War II, and she was hiding Jews and other refugees with her family. Eventually, her family got ratted out, and they got arrested and sent to various concentration camps. Carrie and her sister Betsy were sent to the same one. And after about 10 months of living in a concentration camp, Carrie was released due to a clerical error, but unfortunately, her sister Betsy had died during that time. Now, after the war, Carrie went around Europe talking about God's forgiveness because she believed that this was the message that these people needed to hear in light of the devastation and suffering that they had endured. So one day, after a speaking conference in Munich, a man walks up to her when she is done speaking. And as the man is walking forward, she immediately recognizes him. That man had been one of the cruelest guards in the concentration camp that she was at. And as he was walking forward, memories and images of her horrible time there were coming into her brain. As the man walked up, he said to her, "Well done, Fraulein. How great is it to know that God forgives us all of our sins. That concentration camp that you mentioned was the one that I was a guard at. I have now become a Christian and know that God has forgiven me, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Will you forgive me?" And with that, he held out his hand. At that moment, Carrie said, her body and blood froze and her hand went into her pocket. She later said, "It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out to me, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do." It can be challenging to forgive those sins which were intentional or those which have hurt, scarred, or have broken us. It can be a difficult thing to do to forgive those who have disappointed us. Can be a struggle to forgive and to let go. It can be a challenge to show love towards those who have deeply hurt us. It can be difficult to speak up and to look out for others. We can say with Carrie and the disciples, "This is difficult to do. This is impossible." Increase our faith. Fortunately, though, we have a God who doesn't have us do anything that He Himself doesn't already do. For He forgives us through His Son's death and resurrection. He forgives us when we've intentionally sinned against Him and others with our thoughts, words, and deeds. He forgives us when we have let Him down and disappointed Him. When He forgives us, He lets it go and He moves on. He treats us as if we had never committed that sin. And He forgives us time and time again. Even when we may commit that same sin against Him or someone else multiple times in the same day, when we go to our Lord and say, "I'm sorry, I repent, will you forgive me?" He says, "Of course, you are forgiven because of my Son's death for you. Have no doubt, you are forgiven." God forgives and shows us love even though we don't deserve it. Now let's go back to our text. In responding to the disciples' cry for more faith, he says, If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus says the issue is not necessarily of quantity, but more of quality. For even the smallest faith in Jesus can do what is seemingly impossible and difficult to do, like telling a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted into the sea. For faith has Jesus as its source, object, and power. When responding to the guard's request for forgiveness, Carrie prayed, Jesus, help me. Her faith focused on Jesus, the author, object, and power of her faith. And she was able to forgive that guard despite the massive hurt and pain he had inflicted to her. And it's the same for us, for through faith in Jesus, we can do what is seemingly impossible and difficult to do. We can forgive those who have sinned against us time and time again. We can forgive those who have hurt us and who have disappointed us, and we can move forward from a sin-wrecked past. In Christ, we can show love to those around us, even to those who haven't deserved it, even in the slightest bit. Through faith in Christ, we can speak up and we can look out for others. When faith has Jesus as its source, object, and power, we can be amazed of what can happen and the changes that can take place. In His name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.